on 98 FM and online. This is Phoenix FM.
Hello, hello everyone. Vicky Michelle here with a special Halloween Vic's Mix on Phoenix 98 FM. And I'm glad to say, in fact, I'm delighted to say the fabulous Paul Golder is here to twiddle the flashing knobs. How are you, Paul?
I'm very well. Thank you, Vicky. How are you?
Well, fabulous as always. thanks to Tony for a great Sunday lunch show. And now to get ready for a spooktacular 2 hours of fun, facts and tracks. In fact, I'm going to be... I think it's going to be positively thrilling.
Thrilling?
Thrilling.
You could say it's going to be a thriller.
Ah, let's start with Thriller. Michael Jackson.
Tonight, stretches in the air. The funk of 40,000 years and grisly ghouls from every tomb are closing in to seal your doom. And though you fight to stay alive, your body starts to shiver, for no immortal can resist the evil of the thriller.
Oh, I love that.
Got to get the laugh in.
You've got to get the laugh in. That was Thriller, Michael Jackson, 1983, written by Rod Temperton from the album Thriller. And also, that was the iconic Vincent Price at the end, who did the narration on the song, as Jackson claimed to be a big Vincent Price fan. And also, the narration was inspired by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's novel, The Hound of the Baskervilles. It's all quite creepy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Princess Michael provided the wolf sounds himself after the great Dane they hired for the job failed to produce even a whimper. Well, I think we're going to beat that wolf. We should have been there doing the wolf sounds, shouldn't we? Are you up for a howling later?
Just rewinding, I'm just thinking about the stupidity of bringing a dog in and some guy telling, like a record executive telling the guy, right, are you going to start howling or not?
Well, it must howl. It must, because it must be a trained dog, so it must have howled.
Yeah.
You know, you hire it to howl. And its ground would have been big. You know, sometimes when you play music to them, they howl, don't they?
He obviously wasn't happy with his fee. No. Wrong kind of dog.
But he didn't even produce a whimper. And the creaking door effects were recorded from rented sound effect doors from Universal Studios with the hinges mic'd up for extra effect. And the accompanying footsteps are thought to be Jackson's. We're talking about creaking door. I was doing the press call for the Panto yesterday. In Ipswich, at the Regent Theatre, Ipswich, with Twist and Pulse, and, you know, lots of great
looking
people.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah, you're coming. Is it 17th?
17th, yeah.
That was good, top of my head.
Well done, yeah.
And, but they were doing lots of sort of videos for it, you know, filming snippets. Mm. And one of them, I had to open this door, and then Twist and Pulse, you know, said a line to me, and then I had to, you know, reply, you know, get your tickets now or whatever. And I said, well, the door should be creaking. And they said, well, we haven't got the creaking door. So I said, so I was going, that's quite a good creaking door. Can you do a creaking door?
Do you know what? I've never done one in my life.
Okay, this is it. I don't specialise in it, but...
Oh, this is going to sound crazy.
Go. I'm sorry. I quite like that.
Yeah, good noise. Not a creaking door.
Not creaking doors, actually. We've not had a creaking door off,
okay,
have we?
You won that one.
But they're going to put the set on after. Oh, the video was considered. That was... Making me giggle.
That was terrible, yes.
The video was considered one of the most famous of all time, notably for the dancing. And it was the first video to be added to the National Film Registry Library of Congress.
Oh, that's a big deal,
that's
in America,
big deal.
I think. Yeah,
that is a
yeah.
big deal. Well, it is Michael Jackson, do you know what I mean, pop. Well, but in the news this week, LaToya Jackson has taken exception to Harry Styles having been dubbed the new king of pop on the cover of Rolling Stone magazine recently.
Oh. Firstly, Rolling Stone know how to sell magazines and get publicity, don't they?
What, they...
Upsetting all the Jacksons. We're talking about it, so...
Absolutely. Smart. And she claims it's Michael's title, his estate trademarked it, and insisted no one can ever top her brother and take the crown, even though she does love Harry Styles.
Yeah.
Mm. And she's been on that Australia Masked Singer?
Yeah, Masked Singer Australia, they call it, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah, she was masked. She was unmasked by Mel B. Yeah.
Oh, was she? Oh,
one
bless.
Of the judges, yeah. Only one who recognised her.
How do you watch Australia Masked Singer? Can you get that?
You wouldn't be in Australia, I think, yeah.
Can't you get it on one of the television stations?
You might be able to find bits on YouTube or something.
Oh, right,
but
okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't watch the whole thing, unfortunately.
But, Paul, what do you think about Harry Styles versus Michael Jackson in... the was it the King of Pop?
King of Pop. Well, firstly, there is more than one king. I mean, we're not still
not in England. There isn't.
Well,
we only have one king.
Well, at a time, yeah. But you know, we're not.
You've got the King of Rock and Roll, Elvis Presley.
We're not putting Henry VIII on our stamp still, are we?
Well, are you going to take Elvis Presley off? Is someone going to vie for Elvis's title?
Oh, that's another story. Yeah.
Okay, so
I think Harry's got to sell a few more records before he can call it. Well, he's not calling himself it anyway. It's only the Rolling Stones.
Yeah. I mean, much as I like, I think he's a great singer, Harry Styles, but there is only one King of Pop. Michael Jackson.
It is Michael, yes.
There is only one. It's like Elvis, there is only one. Will ever be one. Anyway, that was... and also... this is one for you. I'm springing this on him, actually. What do Michael Jackson and Alice Cooper have in common?
That's a good question. I don't know. Go on.
They both had Vincent Price narrate on their recordings, Alice Cooper's being a piece for his stage show.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know that.
No, nor did I. Interesting.
Welcome to my nightmare was... Alice Cooper was... Yeah.
Yeah.
Did he eat something?
Was
it him?
Hang on a minute. No, that was Ozzy Osbourne. You're thinking of the...
No, he did something. No.
Eating? You're talking about biting?
Pretended.
Oh, no. Well, Ozzy Osbourne bit chickens and bats on stage.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
You sure Alice didn't?
I don't think so, no.
We'll have to look him up then.
Because the band is called Alice. I mean, they call him Alice, but his real name's Vincent Furnier.
Really?
And they got the name from a session, apparently. They got the name from a session with a Ouija board.
Oh.
Where they said, who's there? And it was like the glasses moving around.
Oh, so it is spooky. Spectacular.
Yeah, really spooky,
that's spectacular for Halloween. That was a great bit of information for the today's show. And incidentally, it's Michael Brothers Randy Jackson's birthday today, the 29th of October. Should we do a Dusty Springfield number?
Yeah,
okay, which one do you think I'm going to play?
It can only be spooky.
Correct. That was Spooky, Dusty Springfield, 1970. One of my favourites. I love that.
I love that too, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was brilliant. Originally written as an instrumental for saxophone and first hit the charts in 1967. Released by Dusty in 70. Her gender-flipped lyric version was used in Guy Ritchie's film Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels. That was a good film, wasn't it? That was a great film, actually. Dusty's song, The Look of Love, was included on which James Bond film?
Casino Royale?
Correct.
Yeah.
With the fabulous David Niven. I loved him as
well. That was great.
He was great.
He was really tongue-in-cheek, but it was still great.
Because he's smooth. He's a smoothie.
Yeah.
You know, very dapper.
Very different to the recent Bonds, isn't it?
Yeah.
Go back to the 60s Bonds. I love them.
I like them being a bit smooth.
Yeah.
And a bit tongue-in-cheek. I like them being like that. I don't want them to be too... Well, they can be action-y, but I like them.
Yeah.
More David Niven and... Maybe Sean Connery, Roger Moore.
Yeah, because it was just a ridiculously smooth and unlikely guy who was beating up every bad guy.
Exactly,
you know,
it was sort of a hero.
The world.
And it made you sort of laugh as well. I liked it like that. Dusty earned herself the nickname as a child because she was a tomboy and was often called Dusty.
Oh.
Okay, not a lot of people know this, but Dusty was a great animal lover and often volunteered at local animal shelters when work allowed.
Oh, that's nice.
That's a nice person. Yeah. Okay. You know, I am a bit superstitious. With Halloween, being an actress as well. So shall we play Superstition, Stevie Wonder?
Superstitions, nothing more to say.
That was Superstition, Stevie Wonder, 1972. Such a brilliant song. You cannot not dance
to
that.
Such a good sort of funk.
I know, it has, yeah. Boogie on down there, Paul. Did you know that Jeff Beck was a huge fan of Stevie Wonder? And although Stevie played most of the instruments on his recordings himself, he preferred to have recognised guitarists on his tracks. And an agreement was quickly made for Beck to get involved on Stevie's album, Talking Book, in exchange for Stevie writing Beck a song.
Oh.
This was the song.
Okay. Right.
Stevie decided to let Beck record it first, but by the time Beck got around to it, Stevie Wonder had already released it himself, and it was a huge hit.
Oh, that's cheeky, isn't it?
Yeah. I was probably going, sorry, Jeff. Beck did eventually record it on one of his albums months later with his trio Beck, Bogart and Appice, and the album did well enough, but this track went almost unnoticed.
Oh, right.
So it's like, really, it's a Stevie Wonder.
And Jeff Beck does play on that song, but not guitar. He's the drummer on it.
Ah, how brilliant is that?
Drums. So he played drums as well as the guitar.
You are such a font of knowledge. That's brilliant. Around the time Wonder recorded this, he was in the habit of keeping a recording studio booked at all time in case inspiration struck. But he made so many songs. And he's about to start a tour of Germany.
Yeah, still going strong, isn't he? Yeah,
brilliant.
I mean, the thing about Stevie Wonder is, I mean, that song, Superstition, is, what, 51 years old?
Is it? Oh,
51,
God.
1972. So
and I'm 51 only years old.
But he was only like 20, 21 when he was like writing stuff like that. Mm. So he's had a really long career because he was so young when he started. He was like, he was a teenage prodigy, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, amazing.
Are you superstitious?
I used to be, but I stopped being superstitious the day I passed my driving test.
Why?
Because it was on a Friday the 13th.
Oh, right.
And I thought, no superstition at all. I've only got one superstition now where, you know when you say touch wood?
Yeah.
I always have to touch wood, if there's no wood around, I go like that on my head.
I do that. I do touch wood or I touch my head.
Yeah. Or if my wife's around, I touch her head. And then she hits me every time. But one of the two. If
that's funny.
It's true. If she's with me and I say touch wood, I touch her head. But if I'm on my own, I touch my own.
That's your little thing together, isn't it?
Yeah. And she does hit me every time.
I mean, a lot of actors really are superstitious. But I have things like, I don't walk under a ladder. I walk round it. I don't like crossing on the stairs. You know, I let people up rather than cross on the stairs.
Yeah.
But also, if you're in the dressing room, and you, someone knocks on your door, I think it's either you turn around three times before you open it. No, the person coming in has to turn around three times.
I never knew that.
So if you go come in, yeah, three times. I don't know what the basis of that. We'll have to look it up. But
three
it's just
times.
Something. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm going to bring that in the studio. I'm going to make the presenters do it.
Yeah, just before if they knock on
the
door.
Hope they're listening.
Okay. Well, I love ghostly things, though. I love Halloween. So should we play Ghostbusters?
afraid of an old ghost. She just walks some more. I think you better call
Ghostbusters.
Who you gonna call?
Ghostbusters.
Who you gonna call?
Ghostbusters.
Think you better call
Ghostbusters.
Who you gonna call?
Ghostbusters.
I can't hear you. Who you gonna call?
Ghostbusters.
Louder.
That was Ghostbusters, Ray Parker Jr., 1984, written by Ray Parker Jr. as the theme of the film of the same name. I love the Ghostbusters film.
Yeah, I love the film, and I loved the game on the ZX Spectrum as well, which was a computer from the 80s. It was like, this is the start of computer games, and they had a Ghostbusters game, and I used to play it all the time.
All the
brilliant.
Time. Addicted to it, were you? The song was nominated for an Academy Award, but lost out to Stevie Wonder. I Just Called to Say I Love You. Mm. Great song as well. Film star Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, Harold Ramis, and Ernie Hudson. It reminds me of when I did the Keith and Paddy picture show. Do you remember that? It had that series.
Yeah.
And they did one based on Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
And they were really good, actually. It was really good. And I was the other people in the sketch was Robbie Williams, Paddy McGuinness, Will Mellor, Sarah Parrish, Chris Kamara, Emily Attack. She played the Green Blob. Bob Carroll Jesus Spit the Dog. Love him anyway.
Oh, wow.
And Fat Robbie, who does a tribute act to Robbie Williams.
Oh.
But he's more overweight. So he calls himself Fat Robbie. And I was playing the chambermaid that was originally played by Frances E. Neely in the original film. It was great fun. I loved that when they were sending up. They did lots of those. They did the Ghostbusters. I think they did those little creatures.
Gremlins.
Correct. Yeah. Do you know, I just had to act that. He guessed. I was going, look with my hand. Those little creatures. Gremlins. Correct. I can't remember the name. But do you believe in ghosts?
Well, I don't, but you know that TV programme Ghosts? Have you seen it on BBC One?
What, the comedy thing?
Like the comedy drama thing. Have you seen it, Ghosts?
Yeah, it's not much,
It's really good, and I don't believe in ghosts, but then I look at that and I think it'd be brilliant if there were ghosts like that.
But there is something on telly at the moment that's like a doco thing, isn't it? Uncanny or something it's called.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and they're actually, like, saying there are ghosts, because you do go into places and you can feel chills as you walk through places. And I do think that there is such, you know, like, it's, would you say it's ghosts? It's like, because I think we go to a different, like when we die, we go to a different plane or whatever you want to call it. So sometimes people have difficulty passing over. So I think there's...
When we started Phoenix, we used to do a lot of recording in a building called The Old House, which was on the Wilson's Corner in the centre of Brentwood, and it's gone now. But we had a girl who came in to do some voiceover work for us, Chelsea her name was, and she came in, the first thing she said, "Oh my God, it's so cold in this room. I just felt the temperature drop. Did somebody die in this room?" Ooh. And we just kind of laughed it off. We then got a historian in. I think you know where this is going. We got a historian in saying this building used to be boarding houses for Brentwood's private school in the 18th and 19th century. And yes, someone did die in that room.
Ooh.
And she called...
Now, some people, you just pick it up.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's got to be something, because otherwise there would not be so many sightings, or people would not believe in it if there wasn't some basis for it.
Yeah, there could be something, you're right. You just don't know what it is, though, don't you?
Spooky, darling. Okay, let's play a Meatloaf number. Love this, Bat Out of Hell.
Tonight, there's a man in the shadows with the gun in his eye and a blade shining no so bright. There's evil in the air and there's thunder in the sky and a killer's on the bloodshot streets. On down in the tunnel with a deadly horizon, oh, I swear I saw a young boy down in the gutter. He was stopping the foam and the heat. Gonna be some light, but I gotta get out, I gotta break it out now.
before the gates of heaven, I'll come crawling on back to you.
That was Bat Out of Hell, Meatloaf, 1978, UK number 8. Stein, it was written by Jim Steinman. He wrote all Meatloaf's hits and claims he wrote this one to be the ultimate motorcycle crash song. It was originally written for Steinman's musical Neverland, and the motorbike sound in the middle of the track is actually producer who?
Todd Rundgren.
Correct. On his electric guitar. It wasn't something Rundgren wanted to do, but pulled it off with the subsequent solo in one take. That was really good. I thought it was a motorbike.
Yeah, it sounds like one, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's like... Oh, it's a motorbike off. That was quite good. Go on.
When I did the show today, I didn't know I was going to make quite so many noises, Dan. Oh, I've lost it now. It's gone. I need some water.
So, okay, that's the motorbike off. And this track features on Meatloaf's album of the same name. The album spent a staggering 470 weeks in the UK album charts, selling over 30 million copies.
That's more than that now.
Is it?
Yeah.
How many?
So he's gone up to 530 weeks.
Whoa.
For a long time, it was the record holder as well, but there's a few albums that have gone past it, but it's still one of the top 10. So,
and it's still selling now?
Yeah, it's still selling,
So that's why it keeps going up all the time?
Yeah, in fact, it came out in 78, I think it came out? And 77, 78?
78, yeah.
And it didn't reach the top 10 until 2013.
I know, because it said that this was considered something of a surprise, given that Meatloaf wasn't that well known at the time.
He wasn't a major star, but people just kept buying the album. It was always there at the bottom of the charts, you know. Yeah. And then eventually...
He became a huge star.
Yeah, like Bat Out of Hell Part 2 went straight to number one, but this album never reached number one.
No, it's just amazing how it works. Despite his name Meatloaf, he was a vegetarian.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. But not a lot of people know this. Right, Paul? Getting better.
Got it, yeah. Michael Caine, yeah.
But Meatloaf was in the original production of Hair. However, he declined to be in the nude scenes.
Oh.
Because you got an extra $12.50 if you were in the nude scenes. But he claimed he could do without the extra cash. I don't blame him. Well, I suppose $12.50 back in the day was quite a lot of money.
Was that the film or the musical?
I think it was musical.
Yeah,
it would have been the musical.
Yeah. I've never seen the musical, but I've seen the film. The film's great.
Oh, I don't know. Hang on.
It's very... I think it started...
He was in the original production.
Yeah, so it was a musical.
Everyone had to take their clothes off. Was Patti Boulay in there? Your hair?
Might have been, yeah.
I think she was.
Yeah. I think they had quite a few big names to look it up.
Yeah, we're some good people. Should we play Cliff Richard number next? I love this. Devil Woman.
Sweet lady, answering.
That was Devil Woman, Cliff Richard, 1976. It remains his biggest hit ever in America. His latest album is Cliff with Strings, My Kind of Life, and it comes out on the 3rd of November. And Cliff's got a new book, A Head Full of Music, which was published on Thursday, the 26th. Of October.
Oh, this week.
Yeah. And you can go and see him on his Blue Sapphire tour at Eventim Apollo London between the 6th and 12th of November. And they're running day trip packages from Essex to the Apollo.
Hmm.
He's got such a big following.
Yeah, still, yeah.
I mean, really, really huge. And I remember that my friend, Jean Haviland, who's the partner of Robert Duncan, she was in the original video. And Robert Duncan was in Drop the Dead Donkey,
yeah.
And he played Gus, one of your favourites.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a stage version of Drop the Dead Donkey, and it's going to start touring early next
year.
Yeah,
I'm going to it, yeah.
Are you?
I've got tickets for it,
You've got tickets already?
Yeah.
I didn't even know it was going out.
Yeah.
I haven't spoken to Rob for a while. Oh, that's great. It's, and how many of the originals are in
it? It's got virtually the whole of the original cast, because there was about eight main characters. One of them, the guy who played Henry Davenport, he passed away a couple of years ago. So obviously he's not going to be there. And one of the originals was Hayden Gwynn, who sadly passed away last week, but she wasn't going to be in the show because she got replaced by Ingrid Lacey. But you've got Robert Duncan, you've got Stephen Tompkinson, who went on to Ballykiss Angel and everything.
That's going to be a great lineup.
Yeah, Neil Pearson, who's been on
Wall.
They've done loads of TV. It's a brilliant cast.
It's a heavyweight cast. I want to go and see that. Well, I'm going to see Rob anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be brilliant.
It was such a good programme when it came out, and they wrote they wrote it all the way up to
it was always on the day, wasn't it? It was that week.
Literally writing it at the last minute and performing it at the last minute.
I wonder
minute.
If they're going to do that. Well, they must be doing that in the stage show, like topical things.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
Yeah. Maybe they have to change it up. That'd be interesting.
Yeah, ooh. Definitely.
And back to Cliff. The link to Sir Cliff, it was Hank Marvin of the Shadows' birthday on the 28th of October. So happy birthday for that day, Hank. Okay, should we play a Rolling Stones number? Mm. This is Sympathy for the Devil.
Time for a change. Killed us all.
That was Sympathy for the Devil, the Rolling Stones, 1968, written by Mick Jagger and Keith Richards, was a UK number 14. And I'm also playing it for the lovely Bill Wyman's birthday, which was on the 24th of October. So I met Bill quite a few times over the years at heritage events and also at Jeremy Lloyd's memorial. Because he was really good friends with Jeremy, him and Jeff Beck.
Yeah.
We're really good friends with Jeremy Lloyd. And also, the Rolling Stones have got a new album, Hackney Diamonds.
Another number one album. It's just gone into number one last Friday. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. How long has it been out?
A week. Wow. Just over a week. Yeah. And it's their 14th number one album.
Yep.
Only the Beatles have had more number ones at 15, as far as albums go.
Beating the Beatles?
No, they're just about to catch them up. If they have another album, they'll catch them up. So that's and it's sold, outsold the rest of the top 10 combined. So many people bought the album. So they're still massive.
So although I like the Beatles and the Rolling Stones, my faves
are the Rolling Stones.
Okay, let's play a Duran Duran number. Hungry Like the Wolf. Hungry Like the Wolf, Duran Duran, 1982, written by Nick Rhodes, Simon Le Bon, John Taylor, Roger Taylor and Andy Taylor, was UK number 5, and I'm playing it for the lovely Simon Le Bon's birthday, which was on the 27th of October. And Simon Le Bon's lyrics for this were reportedly inspired by a fairy tale. Which one, Paul?
It's got to be, I didn't know this, but it's got to be Little Red Riding Hood, because of the wolf.
Correct. Little Red Riding Hood, featuring the Big Bad Wolf. And do you know where their name is derived from?
Duran Duran.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was the baddie in Barbarella, Duran Durand, with a D at the end.
Oh, well
done.
And they
just made it Duran Duran. Yeah,
they got the idea from Barbarella's, a club in Birmingham. When they were there,
yeah.
But they obviously loved Barbarella. Everyone loved Barbarella.
That
was a great film.
Yeah.
Okay. Shall we play a Steppenwolf number?
Yeah.
This is Born to be Wild. Born to be Wild, Steppenwolf, 1968. And it was written by Mars Bonfire, otherwise known as Mars Bonfire. I love that. Should have saved that one for Guy Fawkes.
Yeah.
Otherwise known as Dennis Edmonton. Was UK number 18, US number 2. And Dennis was the brother of the band's drummer, Jerry Edmonton. This was the first pop song to use the phrase heavy metal.
Ah.
And was inspired by a poster of a motorbike on Hollywood Boulevard. Not a lot of people know that. You didn't know that,
did
you?
I didn't know that, no.
And also it was obviously used in the film Easy Rider, starring Dennis Hopper and Peter Fonda. The producers wanted Crosby, Stills and Nash to do the soundtrack. However, it soon became clear the song belonged in the film and stayed. Oh, it's a brilliant song. And in 1994, Ozzy Osbourne sang it in a duet with whom?
Oh, yeah, we remember this. It was Miss Piggy, wasn't it? Did we get the album, I think, didn't we?
The album was called Kermit Unpigged.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. Mm. And it featured rock stars singing with the Muppets. It was such a, that was so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. I mean, why don't they do that again?
Oh, still massively popular, aren't they?
Yeah, so yeah. We'd get so many followers. Mm. But if you've just tuned in, this is Vic's Mix on Phoenix 98 FM with me, Vicky Michelle, and the fabulous Paul Golder. Well, we've got to play a Queen number, haven't we? Okay. It's a Kind of Magic.
It's a Kind of Magic. It's a Kind of Magic. A Kind of Magic. One dream, one soul.